This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
One, it's more talented offensively than where Kansas City is. Quarterback aside, I know it's been a little bit of a down year for Patrick Mahomes, but let's be honest. If you put Patrick Mahomes in this Detroit offense with those weapons, he'd be breaking records. So not going to go that far. But what I will say is Detroit is in every single game no matter what. It was just a few weeks ago that Jared Goff threw five picks in a primetime game. And Detroit still won. So that's really the key for me here is they've not only built a winner in Detroit, but it's a team that every week that you can count on. It's a team that every single week you may look at a double-digit spread and say they could still cover that. Kansas City can't do that. Detroit can do that. And they can come back and overcome mistakes. Hell, if Jared Goff, if that was a college play where he fell late and handed the ball off right on that fourth down, he fell. His knee touched the ground. That play's done. So they overcome every little mistake that they seem to make. And that's just a sign of a disciplined team. That's a team that's bought into leadership. That's a team that has one common goal. And that's a team that every single week I count on and expect to win football games. I think they go 16-1 this year. And maybe there's a chance that Kansas City does too. Do you imagine if we have two 16-1 teams in either conference and they go on a collision course to the Super Bowl? Oh my God, we would be blessed. Blessed with a Lions-Chiefs Super Bowl. It'd be incredible. Would love to see it. But I mean, think too, the injuries that Detroit has had, right? They talked about it over and over and over again, leading up to that game last night during the game on defense for the Lions. Yet, you know what I still did? I was sweating too, man. I was sweating this, right? If you saw, I gave out under 69.5 rushing yards for Josh Jacobs. Because if you look at the last month, the Lions' run defense has been phenomenal. I mean, they held Joe Mixon to 46 yards rushing. And there was a point there for a while where I'm going, oh my God, Josh Jacobs is going to plow through this. You're all going to give me crap on social media. Like, look, I don't like taking a lot of unders. But he did finish with 66 because when it came down to it at the end, second half, fourth quarter, the Lions, everybody just seems to step up. They kind of turn that thing up a notch. Like, I know it's a cliche to do the whole, like, next man up. Oh God, it's just the next guy just steps up in there. It's not that simple. But the Lions have gotten as close to that cliche becoming a reality as possible. They're picking guys up off the street. You got a ton of injuries on defense, but everybody still stepped up and bought in. And I look at them and go, how can Dan Campbell not be coach of the year? He's minus 150 right now at BetMGM. Of course he's coach of the year. Now, this is the most intriguing race that there is in terms of the awards markets. If you really look at the odds and not just the odds, like let's look at what can be realistic here right now. Like, I'm not betting Jared Goff 11-1 to win MVP. I'm not. I mean, Saquon Barkley's 3-1. That's an okay price, but he's probably not going to win it because in reality, he's a running back. And fair or not, that's just going to be the case. Josh Allen, that's his award to lose. It's really now comes down to, in that market, whether or not Josh Allen just continues to play well the rest of the way. Because what's always going to help Josh Allen is we thought the Bills, most people, maybe not in that locker room, thought they're taking a step back this year, right? Offense doesn't look the same. Some turnover on defense. Look at where the Bills are now. So to me, I look at that race and say it's Saquon Barkley, it's Josh Allen, it's nobody else. And I know PJ and I argue about this a lot on Sundays inside the betting lines, 1-5 Eastern, BetQL. But I have to pull back on Jared Goff now because I understand whether or not I do think he also, like if Jared Goff won MVP, I wouldn't argue it. I'd be like, he deserves it. They go 16-1. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback starting for a 16-1 team. Generally, you win MVP. Coach usually wins coach of the year. What's going to hold Jared Goff back is that there's a ton of talent around him. Josh Allen doesn't have that same level of talent. But you want to talk about coach of the year. Mike Tomlin's had a great season. He has done a ton in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin gets the best out of his players. But isn't it time now we start talking about Dan Campbell doing the same thing as Mike Tomlin? I know we don't have the same resume. I know we don't have the same longevity that's there. But if you want to talk about building culture and you want to talk about getting the best out of their players, where every year we can't count the Steelers out because Mike Tomlin gets his most out of his guys. Dan Campbell's doing the same damn thing. Not every head coach has to be an X's and O's, right? If you've got great coordinators, you've got a great game plan, you become that walk-around coach. They call them walk-around coaches, right? Jim Harbaugh is that guy. He delegates. He goes into meeting rooms with position coaches, sees something on film and says, hey, that's a problem. Hope you guys can figure it out. And he'll leave the room. He's like notorious for that. So he allows the smart people that he hires to do their job. Dan Campbell's got great coordinators. And maybe Ben Johnson leaves and this team falls apart. I don't know. We saw it in Philadelphia for a while, but things sure look better in Philly now too. So you have to have a whole group and a collection that's there, but Dan Campbell is still at the top there. And if we're going to blame coaches for losses, you reward coaches for winning. And when you've got the pelotas that Dan Campbell has, I mean, for the love of God, going for that thing on fourth down, I could not believe it. The minute I saw Sam Laporta go in motion, I said, oh, they're going for this thing. It's Dan Campbell at his finest. So that's really the coach of the year is the only race that could still be justified. And like if the Steelers went out, I could see Mike Tomlin maybe winning that. Kevin O'Connell's 5-1, just like Tomlin. I think it's going to be tough to justify O'Connell over Tomlin. Sean Payton at plus 650, done a great job. Jim Harbaugh, plus 750, also great in that first year. Turns teams around, programs around if it's college, every single year if you're Harbaugh. It's just going to be tough to compete with Dan Campbell. And also, too, listen, there are narratives in this, right? Like, these are humans that are involved in these awards. And they're voting. And what are you going to do? You look at Detroit. You look at that tortured fan base. Like, I can relate to tortured fan bases because I've suffered as a fan of my football team that's had, feels like 100 names at this point, over and over and over again. And, like, if you're a Lions fan, how can you not root for a Lions fan? How can you not root for that team? So to see Dan Campbell in this position, to see what he's been able to do, to turn this whole entire team around, that's going to add to the whole like resume that's there. I find it hard for Dan Campbell, if they continue this, to not win Coach of the Year. But you do have Mike Tomlin kind of nipping at his heels, just given the rebirth of Russell Wilson, the way that the Steelers have played this year. And maybe there's going to be somebody that says, well, Dan Campbell has all this talent. It's more about his coordinators. So really the only value I think there is probably 5-1 Mike Tomlin. That's about it. Steelers have one of the toughest schedules the rest of the way, but so does Detroit. So it's like if you believe in the Steelers more than the Lions in terms of their schedule the rest of the way, you bet that 5-1. But that's really it. But that, again, most of these awards kind of get figured out at this point. MVP could be lost if Josh Allen loses the grip on that. Coach of the Year to me, though, is the most intriguing one, I think, of all. We'll talk to Lucy Burge in a couple of minutes here. Conference championship weekend, though, in college football. I love Georgia-Texas, obviously. Like, it's weird, too, to talk about some of these conference championship games, and it's like Oregon's playing for the Big Ten. Texas is playing for the SEC title, and you're like, what? Oh, yeah. Look, we all know realignment is what it is, but it makes for some really intriguing championship games this weekend, and I think it's made college football that much better. Look, Georgia has one of the worst first quarter scoring differentials in all of college football. I love Texas to cover that first quarter. In fact, their point differential is up around a touchdown, plus 7.33. So I love Texas. I took the Texas money line minus 130 in that game just to start. I'm taking the first quarter just so there's not a lot of other stuff that gets, I think, thrown around in there that could cause some issues late that make things a little bit more complicated in a game. Look, Texas has got to run the ball. That's the key. If you're Texas, run the ball, establish the run early, and win that first quarter to give yourself a little momentum going the rest of the way, because they've got to also protect Quinn Ewers. Crowded pocket with Quinn Ewers, it ain't good if you've watched. He is, and we don't even know if Kelvin Banks is playing yet. That's your star left tackle protecting the blind side of your quarterback. I mean, if Quinn Ewers struggles at all in this, and Kelvin Banks is out, I mean, are we going to see some Arch Manning? I don't know. That's why I want to stick with just the first quarter here. Texas has been very good in the first quarter this season. I think they established the run. Like, Georgia's more talented. But if you're looking around, like, hey, are we going to have good Carson Beck? Are we going to have bad Carson Beck? He's been better, hasn't turned the ball over the last three games. Georgia doesn't feel as, I don't want to say unmotivated, right? Like, that's a slap in the face to that team. But doesn't it just feel like the intensity is not there with them, the consistency? Like, we talk about the Lions, and you watch them go, no matter what, they're down 28-24, they can still win this game. I don't feel that way about Georgia. So if Texas can get up early and establish the run, that starts in that first quarter, I think they're in a really, really good spot there. So in the Big Ten, I do like Oregon to cover minus 3.5. The total's at 49.5 there. I'm probably just staying with the side. I think I don't want to overthink this. And I mean, say what you want, but the James Franklin factor. Really, like, when have we seen James Franklin have success in these types of games? He's 3-18 straight up against top 10 opponents. He hasn't beaten a top 10 opponent since 2016. He's 1-13 against top 5 teams. Oregon has just, they've adjusted to Big Ten play so easily. Like, it's almost unfair. Like, they pop right in and here you go. And that offense is so fast and it's just so dynamic that you look at this and go, they're playing in Lucas Oil Stadium, indoors, speed. It favors Oregon in such a great, like, it's just a perfect spot for them. I just find it really hard to fade Oregon in this spot here. One more before we get to Lucy, too. I am going to take Clemson plus 2.5 in the ACC championship. Already bet that. I do want to get a 3, though. I'm hoping it does move to 3. SMU does have that rush advantage there. Clemson's 126th in defensive rush EPA, so that's like the one advantage that SMU has. But this is a program in Clemson that's been in these spots before. A lot of money coming in on SMU. Over 70% of the money. There was a point where it was up close to 90% early on. So I'm hoping we get a 3 here. I'd much rather go in that, but I did take a 2.5. A little sprinkle on it anyway. Cade Klubnik also has played a lot better. So I think Clemson comes through in a position that they're comfortable with and that they've certainly had before. All right, we bring on Lucy Burge, BetQL. Dan Campbell, I love him. I love him so much. I would like to hang out with him, have a beer, take 5 shots of espresso with him, and run through a wall for him, Lucy.
Yeah, he might actually explode if you do that, because he already, see, he just wakes up like he is on every espresso you could ever find ever. This guy is amazing. I love Dan Campbell, as we all do. We love Dan Campbell. So for the past 3 seasons, I've been saying the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl. They have not the past few seasons. This is the year, Nick. This is the year they win the Super Bowl. That's what last night convinced me. They didn't cover, which I had them to cover, but that's, you know, what can you do? By the hook, it is what it is. Dan Campbell, coach of the year, coach of the century, coach of our lifetimes. This guy is perfect. This guy just needed a couple years to bring this team to where they are. And little by little, each year, they have gotten to where they are now. And they now, this is the year that it's the Lions versus everybody. And that starts at the top with Dan Campbell. Post-game speech is just, I watched that 3 times. I stopped it right before the throwing up part because I can't do anything to do with like throw up or anything. But I had to mute the word vomiting today because of that, because the New York Post had it. And I was like, nope, can't see that. However, Dan Campbell, while I was watching this, you watch it. You're like, I love this guy. This guy is great. Said it out loud. This guy is great. So Dan Campbell is amazing. So I am looking forward to the Lions winning the Super Bowl. Also, Dan Campbell, coach of the year, is not the worst pick, I think, as you said. So just all around, a team, like you also said, to root for. Happy for Lions fans, as I have jumped on that bandwagon. Happy for the city of Detroit that this team is now legitimate. And beyond legitimate, they're Super Bowl favorites. But I'm happy for Lions fans, for that team, for Dan Campbell, and for that city, because it's just good stuff. It's just stuff you love to see.
You know, and what you bring up there, I think, is a great point where you talk about, you've said that you saw them winning the Super Bowl over the last couple of seasons. But what they've really done, it's, they've continued to grow and climb, and it's always been, the arrow's always been pointing up, right? You never felt like there's been a step back yet, where he's come in there and this team was, now remember, Dan Campbell's like first 2 years, they were a great team. They had so many times where they were double digit underdogs and they'd always cover because they just played hard. They just didn't have enough talent. They've taken that culture and that play hard and they put it all together with talent. And it's like, oh, this is what a Super Bowl winning team looks like for an organization that has no idea what this thing looks like. Does it feel like to you, even with the, again, not full Patrick Mahomes type of season, Chiefs-Lions Super Bowl, kind of the direction this is going?
So this is what I originally thought coming into the season, Chiefs-Lions Super Bowl. It seemed like the Chiefs could even, I mean, the Lions are my pick to win the Super Bowl, but like the Chiefs just, they always find a way to win, of course. But there's something about the Chiefs this season that if the Bills are going to defeat the Chiefs and keep them from getting to a Super Bowl, this is the year. This is the year that the Chiefs get defeated in an AFC championship game. And the past couple weeks, there's something turning a little bit with the Chiefs that is making me think this, they have some vulnerabilities that maybe they could be beaten when it comes to getting to the Super Bowl. I have now switched to Bills Lions Super Bowl, which actually it works out because you got 2 different blues going on with the color scheme. I like that very much as well. So you get a nice aesthetically pleasing Super Bowl also. But I think that the Bills are impressive. I am very high on the Bills now. So I would take them over the Chiefs at this point to get through the AFC Championship game and get to the Super Bowl.
I think we all love good quality color schemes. I think that would be good for a Super Bowl without question. I didn't even think about that. This is why I need to talk to you, Lucy. You always see things that I don't even think about when it comes to this. You know, I'm looking at Bills and Rams this weekend. I actually really love the over on passing yards and definitely touchdown passes for Matt Stafford, because this feels like a game where, like, I feel like the Rams could be playing from behind. I know it's obviously in LA, so it's an opportunity for them. It's, you know, it could be a faster game. They're not having to deal with that snow. Good God, the snow in Buffalo. Like, those people are so tough. There's no way I could live there. I'm just not that tough. No. There's no way I could do it. They're way tougher than me. But, you know, what I feel like this is a really big game for the Bills in that sense that, like, you go on the road for them to be able to win in Los Angeles against a Rams team that now sees an opportunity to win a division that's wide open with the 49ers, I feel like, essentially out of this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I have Bills -3.5 in this game, because they have won 7 straight. They have covered their last 3 and 6 of their last 7. They are 4-2 against the spread on the road. They're facing a Rams team that has failed to cover in 4 of their last 5 at home and 2 of their last 3 overall. The trajectory for the Bills is very up, and the snow is not deterring them, and they are very tough, and Josh Allen is so impressive. And so what I've seen from the Bills is very, very impressive. And that's why I think this is the year that they will get to the Super Bowl. They're very resilient, and they have covered many a spread, and I think they will do it again against the Rams.
Lucy, which game would I have to pay you more to watch all by itself? Jags Titans or Saints Giants?
Ooh, okay. Probably Saints Giants, because I might actually watch Jags Titans, because I'm deciding, okay, I'm going to bet on this game. And I kind of want to take the Titans to cover, though I'm a little hesitant to bet on the Titans, but I think they will cover.
I did take the over on a rushing and receiving yards for Tony Pollard in that game, and that is the only thing I'm touching. Although you could always bet a Will Levis interception, and I feel like that helps. God, the Jags now without even Trevor Lawrence out there, they're gonna be a tough watch. All right, what about, I'm gonna leave it open to you here, obviously, like I always like to do. Any bets you'd like this weekend? Props, sides, totals. What's on the card for you?
Yes. Well, first I have a 5-star play for tonight from the BetQL model, which is Celtics Bucks. It is the over 226.5. Celtics averaging 120 points scored per game. Bucks averaging over 113 per game. And the Bucks have hit the over in 2 of their last 3 games. Celtics have hit the over in 3 of their last 5. So the over, the BetQL model loves as a 5-star play of 226.5. I also like the Panthers to cover +12.5 against the Eagles. They've covered their last 4. They almost upset the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. They have been surprising some teams. Their last 2 games, the Eagles also have failed to cover in 3 of their last 4. So Panthers +12.5. It's a big enough spread that I think the Panthers could cover here.
Amazing how this season is just arced for them from, oh my God, Bryce Young can't play football, to, hey, Andy Dalton, oh my God, Andy Dalton can't play. Hey, Bryce Young can play football. Now they may cover. So before you go, where the hell is Juan Soto going? Are we ever going to figure this out?
Nick, I am sweating every day I wake up, and I'm like, am I waking up into a world where he is a Red Sox or where he is not decided? And I do hope he will end up with the Red Sox, but I worry that part of me thinks it will be the Mets, but I do hope in the end it will be the Red Sox. But at this point, I'd say Mets, then Red Sox, then the Yankees as the order of where the odds should be.
I always had a dream he'd come back to D.C., but we all know that's not happening. Man. They're not willing to spend that money just yet in D.C., maybe in a couple of years. Lucy Burge,
surprise.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
You're the best, Nick. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
See you, Lucy. Juan Soto back in a Nats uniform. I would love to see it, but, you know, it is what it is. I've accepted that. I know my Nationals are going to take a few years to build up, but in Mike Rizzo we trust. All right. In the NBA tonight, I got one prop that I do really like. De'Aaron Fox over 34.5 points and rebounds and assists. All right. PRA. Going across the board for De'Aaron Fox here. Since his 60-point game, all right, that goes back to November 15th, De'Aaron Fox has averaged 29 points, almost 5 rebounds, 6.5 assists. He's been on an absolute tear. Now, though, this number's actually gone down. This is the lowest his PRA, 34.5, has been since November 13th, so before the 60-point game. So it's a great buy-low spot for De'Aaron Fox because he only had 18 points last time out, but he's playing the Spurs. Well, the last time he played the Spurs, well, he had a big game, had himself a really nice opportunity here to, I think, get back into that spot again. I love De'Aaron Fox in this. And really, if you go look, like 7 of his last 10, gone over 34.5. He's gone over this in 4 of his last 5 against San Antonio. He had 38 total PRA that game 5 days ago against the same Spurs team. It's a really, really good spot for De'Aaron Fox. So I'm going over 34.5 PRA for him. And really, with the Kings team they've struggled a little bit this year. Oh, one more, too. I'll give you a bonus here. 11 steals. I'm not joking. 11 steals over the last 3 games for De'Aaron Fox. Now, that number's at 1.5, but it's kind of heavily juiced. You're looking at between like a -138 to a -160. If you don't want to pay the juice, maybe parlay it, little dabble with something else in there. Just take his points, take the steals, put that together if you want to do that. But, I mean, again, 11 steals over the last three games. You want to dabble in some steals props tonight. Come on, you have a little Friday NBA props. I'll tell you what. The NBA props market this year has been, you've had some big, big numbers from guys, except for the Lakers, though. They are an embarrassment. They cannot be fixed. And I will touch no Laker props, I think, for the rest of the season. I think that's the smart move. I think that's what we all should do. The Lakers have lost six of their last eight, and I spent more than too much time the other night watching them get their ass kicked by 41 by the Heat. They gave up. There is a sequence, I think it was against the Suns a few games ago, where it's just like five straight trips back and forth, and everybody's just shooting threes and missing threes. The Lakers look lost. They look uninterested. They look like they've completely given up in some of these games. And I know we thought that like J.J. Redick was going to make the difference. I don't know why we continue to have, and especially if it's LeBron, like he always wants his friends everywhere. Have a real head coach, someone that has experience. What are we doing? J.J. Redick could turn out to be a great head coach. If you're a J.J. Redick, why are you taking this job? It's a no-win situation. There's too much of a spotlight. This team is not constructed well. The Lakers are going to continue to struggle the rest of the season. And maybe they're a play-in team. And that's about it. They had that short stretch after the trade deadline before, what, like last season or whatever, like, where they actually kind of, before they made the Western Conference Finals and got swept by Denver, right? That team they put together, pretty decent. There was at least a little bit of thought put together there. They got the Hawks tonight. I like the Hawks. I like the Hawks to cover 4.5. I like the over in this at 230.5. I'm taking the over there because this is a game where there's not going to be a lot of defense. Big time, fast pace. Atlanta loves to play fast. And if you go and look where the Atlanta Hawks are, and I have ripped the Hawks this year, and I've ripped them in the past because ever since they made the Eastern Conference Finals, and Trae Young was like, oh, you know, we're just a little bored this year because we made the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So? You haven't earned the right to be able to say you're bored. You know who gets to earn the right to say they're bored? The prime Warriors or prime Spurs back in the day. They get to be bored during the regular season. That's it. Not the Atlanta Hawks. But if you look now where Atlanta is, this is a team you can start to trust again. Jalen Johnson, I've taken the over on his points and rebounds tonight. I think that's a really, really good spot for him. But bigger picture here is that Trae Young now is in a comfortable spot to play like Trae Young. You can trust him in the props market, and you can actually trust Atlanta in these games. Not defensively, but offensively. Not only have they won five straight, but remember, Atlanta won two games over the Cavs during this winning streak. So they were beating a team that was off to a historic pace, and they beat them twice. That's a big deal. So what you're seeing now from the Hawks is that you got everybody kind of built around Trae Young, right? We watched this kind of inconsistent Steph Curry light we thought early in his career. It's like, was he going to play any defense? Is he going to go 1-for-13 every night from three? What are we going to get from Trae Young? And then they go and they trade for DeJounte Murray, and it's like, this isn't going to work. These two can't play together. It's like having two quarterbacks on the field at the same time. It ain't going to work. They moved on from that. But now they kind of got this like balance of like 3-and-D guys, and they let Trae Young handle the ball, shoot, be Trae Young. You can't just put talent on the court in the NBA. It's not that easy. How many times have we watched teams where they think like, oh yeah, we're just going to throw a bunch of guys out there and this is going to work? It doesn't work that way. Chemistry in basketball matters more than any other sport. And you're starting to see that with Atlanta, where you've got Trae Young, the playmaker, doing what he does. And then you got everybody else, 3-and-D guys. Jalen Johnson could win Most Improved Player of the Year. That awards market, crap, by the way. Hate it. Stay away from it. It makes no sense. Just leave it alone. But Jalen Johnson's kind of becoming that number two, and he's not like a household name, but I like Atlanta tonight. And I think the Lakers are in big, big trouble for a long, long stretch. They're going to make trades. They're going to try to do something and tear this thing up, but it's going to be a problem the rest of the year for them. So give me Atlanta to cover. Give me the over in that game as well. You got, of course, the over 34.5 PRA for De'Aaron Fox. That's what I like in the NBA. As for this weekend in the NBA, because I know this 30 minutes goes fast and I talk a whole hell of a lot. Well, it's what I'm used to doing. Love Jakobi Meyers over in his receiving yards, 61.5. This is an awesome matchup against Tampa for Jakobi Meyers. He's averaging 109 receiving yards over the last 2 weeks, but here's the key. You got Aiden O'Connell back out there. He just threw for 340. You're going to get the opportunities against this secondary in Tampa. You're going to throw the ball, and you're going to just try to cut through that defense as much as you possibly can. And really, like, what do you have to lose? If you're the Raiders now, you're Aiden O'Connell, you're everybody, like, what do you have to lose at this point except what? I don't know. Another game? That's really what this whole thing comes down to. So I think it's a great spot for Jacoby Myers, given you're riding the hot hand, and it's a great matchup situation there too. I am going to do something crazy, though. And I said, looking at their schedule, they may not win another game this year. And I could be wrong, but I also could be right, and everything could come true this weekend. Could all work out still. I like Bears +4 against San Francisco. I know. The Bears still look like a team that's kind of in disarray, but have you seen the 49ers? They've packed it up. That's it. It's done. They are just playing out their schedule. If the 49ers could just wave the white flag, throw in the towel, whatever you want to say, if they could do that, they would do it. Everybody's hurt. There is nobody left. I think this is an opportunity for the Bears. They at least keep this close. San Francisco could still win this game. But Chicago +4, kind of past that key number there. We're in a nice spot. So I really think this is a chance for Chicago at least to keep this game close against the banged up, just mental fatigue. If you're the 49ers, think of the season you've gone through. The mental fatigue at this point. God, you think people covering the sport are like, can we just get to the playoffs? 49ers are like, can we just get to the end of this? Like, played so much football. Everybody's hurt. We're sick of it. And then one more for you. Kyren Williams this weekend, there's a lower number out there, so take it. Over 82.5 rushing and receiving yards. The Bills have allowed the most catches, fourth most receiving yards, second most receiving touchdowns, and 5.2 yards a carry to running backs since week 9. Kyren Williams has gone over this number in 5 of his last 6 games. From a fantasy perspective, too, third most fantasy points per game given up to running backs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.